And if you're just tuning in, this is Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz, and it's time now for quite possibly the biggest star in pop music today. That's Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's new album is called Red, and it just sold 1.2 million copies in its first week. That's the highest one-week sales total in 10 years for any album. Now, Taylor Swift is no longer talked about as just a teenaged country sensation. If that's your impression of her, get it out of your head, because she's now mentioned as perhaps the most important artist of her generation.
These things I'm reading about this release are blowing my mind. This is an album that took me 2 years to make. The fact that people are talking about it in terms of music history and words like generation and all that, it's the most flattering feeling in the world, because I really put everything into this album.
In the liner notes to Taylor Swift's new album, Red, there's a quote from the poet Pablo Neruda, and it reads, "Love is so short, forgetting is so long."
When I read that line, I absolutely connected to it. My favorite writers definitely have something musical about what they do in saying something so relatable and universal, but so simple.
You write the vast majority of your songs, your fans know that. A lot of your themes are about love or love lost or heartbreak, and sometimes I wonder whether, you know, you date a lot of jerks.
I like to write about love and love lost because I feel like there are so many different subcategories of emotions. I've never missed two people the same way. And yeah, sometimes, most of the time, it doesn't work out. That's the thing with love. It's going to be wrong until it's right. So, you know, you experience these different shades of wrong, and you miss the good things about those people, and you regret not seeing the red flags for the bad things about those people. But it's all a learning process, and being 22, you're kind of in a crash course with love and life and lessons and learning the hard way. And thankfully, I've been, you know, able to write about those emotions as they've affected me. I have had, you know, relationships with people that were really substantial and, like, meant a lot to me in my life, but I couldn't write a song about that person for some reason. And then again, you'll meet someone who comes into your life for 2 weeks and you write an entire record about them. I think it's dependent on the person, like that thing that they say about muses. I think it's true. When I first started writing songs, I was always scared that my songs were too personal. Like, if I put someone's name in a song, people won't relate to it as much. But what I saw happening was, if I let my fans into my life and my feelings and what I'm going through, my vulnerabilities, my fears, my insecurities, it turns out they have all those things too. And it kind of connects us.
I love the track on this record that you sing with Gary Lightbody of the band Snow Patrol. The song's called The Last Time.
Thank you.
It's a heartbreaking song. This is
the
last
time I'm asking you this. The idea was kind of based on this experience that I had with someone who was kind of this unreliable guy. You never know when he's going to leave. You never know when he's going to come back, but he always does come back. My visual for this song is there's a guy on his knees sitting on the ground outside of a door, and on the other side of the door is his girlfriend. He's saying, you know, this is the last time I'm going to do this to you. And she's saying, this is the last time I'm asking you this. Don't do this again. And all the times I let you in, just for you to go again, disappear when you come back. Everything is better right before your eyes. Just you. And she's wondering whether to let him in, and he just wants her to give him another chance, but she doesn't know if he's going to break her heart again. It's a really fragile emotion you're dealing with when you want to love someone, but you don't know if it's smart to. This is the last time I'm asking you, last time I'm asking you, last.
asking you this.
I'm speaking with pop superstar Taylor Swift. Her new record is called Red. Taylor, I'm interested in asking you about your rise. Because, you know, a lot of people know the broad brushstrokes. You were a talented singer as a kid. You were determined. But you actually experienced a lot of failure and setbacks for many years before you made it, right?
Yeah, I think that that's part of what makes you know that you love something. If you can try things and have it not work out and you still want to keep singing, you still want to keep writing songs. It wasn't an immediate success. It wasn't an immediate rocket launch of a career. Mm.
I mean, your mom and I were going to Nashville and trying to play karaoke demos of you for record labels, and they just were not interested.
Yeah, I was 11. So, you know, I started wanting to do this really, really young, like 9 and 10. Mm. And I started out with community theater. You know, I actually ended up going to auditions in New York for Broadway stuff, didn't make it there. And what I ended up coming back to is that I always just was so obsessed with the storytelling in country music. Like, you know, Shania Twain, Faith Hill, mm-hmm. the Dixie Chicks. I was so taken in by their songs. When I was 12, I started playing guitar and writing my own songs, and that's when it became something that I could never stop thinking about.
Your parents moved the whole family from Pennsylvania to Nashville because they really had a lot of faith in you. I mean, they thought that you would make it.
Well, I mean, my dad has always thought that I was going to make it in music, but my mom and I, we didn't know. I was never convinced that I was going to make it. And I look back, my mom and I reminisce about this all the time because we had no idea what we were doing. You know, my parents bought books on what the music industry was like. And, you know, some of the things that were said to me early on was, teenagers don't listen to country music. That's not the audience. The audience is a 35-year-old housewife. So how are you going to relate to those women when you're 16 years old? You should come back when you're in your 20s. It ended up being a brand new indie upstart label that I chose to be with because the label president, Scott Borchetta, believed that there was a young audience for country music, and he also believed that I should be able to write all my own songs and not be singing other people's words.
You talked about failure and setbacks and persistence, and I'm wondering how you deal with it when they happen now. A few years ago, you were criticized for performance at the Grammy Awards, and I know you were made aware of that. Did that throw you, did that criticism shake your confidence?
Absolutely. My confidence is easy to shake. I am very well aware of all of my flaws. I am aware of all the insecurities that I have. I have a lot of voices in my head constantly telling me I can't do it, you know, and I've dealt with that my whole life. And getting up there on stage thousands of times, you're going to have off nights. And when you have an off night in front of that many people and it's pointed out in such a public way, that gets to you. Like, I feel like as a songwriter, I can't develop thick skin. Hmm. I cannot put up protective walls because it's my job to feel things. It's my duty to my fans to feel things in the most raw way and write about them and put them on albums. And I feel like if I were to start that kind of like block it out, being jaded, that sort of mentality that sometimes takes over entertainers. You see performers get really jaded and really like very bitter. And I think that happens when you stop feeling the rejection and the pain and the insecurities and you can't handle it to the point where you just block it all out. But the kind of magical way that, you know, criticism has helped me is that that's another thing that I put into my music. And I ended up writing a song called Mean about that experience and about this one particular guy who would not get off my case about it. And to stand up at the Grammys 2 years later and to sing that song and to get a standing ovation for it and to win 2 Grammys for that particular song, I think was the most gratifying experience I've ever had in my life. Why you gotta be so
Taylor, this is an election weekend. I know that the day you turned 18, you registered to vote. And you have also said that you sort of want to wait before you take public positions, that you want to feel comfortable enough to defend them. Are you there yet?
No, I'm not. I think at 22, I'm still gathering information about who I am. I look at a lot of people's like interviews on their lives. I talk to a lot of people who are older than me. I have a great respect for gray hair. I think that a lot of people tell me that when they were 22, they thought they had it all figured out, but they didn't. So just when I start to think that I know how I feel about something, I learn something else that changes my mind. And I just feel like I don't have enough wisdom about myself as a person yet to go out there and say to 20 million followers on Twitter and say to all these people on Facebook and whoever else is, you know, reading whatever interview I do, vote for this person. You know, I know who I'm going to vote for, but I don't think that it's important for me to say it, because that will influence people one way or another. And I just want to make sure that every public decision I make is an educated one.
Mm. You have said that you work really hard to avoid mistakes, but you are still young. This is almost the time in your life to make mistakes. Do you feel like you've kind of gotten the short shrift there, that because of your public persona, because of who you are, you can't?
You know, I think about this a lot, actually. And this is the year that you're supposed to make the most crazy, wild mistakes and learn the hard way.
I mean, you could make a punk album.
You know, and people say that to me all the time. You're 22. Just, you know, live it up. I mean, and although I feel like I've been able to make my own mistakes and stretch and explore the edges, there's not really one day that goes by that my life isn't documented somewhere. I live in a world where I know for a fact that my grandkids will get to Google what I wore today.
Hmm.
It's a strange dilemma, because it puts an amount of pressure on your every move that, yeah, other 22-year-olds don't necessarily have to think about. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think I have a huge goal on being a good person. And you know, the perception of you is going to change daily when you do what I do. But I just want to end up knowing it in my heart that I did the right thing and tried my best. And if you mess up, hopefully it teaches you something.
Taylor Swift, her new record is called Red. You can hear a few tracks at our website, nprmusic.org. Taylor Swift, thank you so much. Congratulations on this record and your success.
Thank you so much. It's great talking to you, and thank you so much for having me on the show. This is a real honor.
Our program is directed today by Kenya Young. The staff includes Phil Harrell, Brent Bachman, Lauren Silverman, Amy Held, Becky Hersher, and Brenda Salinas, with help this week from Sarah Ventry and Erica Morrison. Our interns are Acacia Squires and Barbara Sprunt. The technical director is Daniel Shukin. Our weekend web producers include Melissa Goh, Stephanie Federico, Krishnadev Kullamore, Steve Mullis, Daoud Tyler Amin, and Dana Farrington. Mathoni Maturi is senior editor, and Steve Lichtai is our senior producer. For Saturday, that's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News, I'm Guy Raz. Don't miss tomorrow's program when we release the final pre-election poll by the Pew Research Center. Also, the winner of Round 9 of 3-Minute Fiction, plus...
You're the cold maze, say one, breeze and cold, and answer nine, choose all right.
The amazing story behind this song. Until then, thanks for listening, and have a great night.
When I stand in the shoes, and I will hold me to say